America's founders wrote in the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, end quote. But for several decades, many judges, including justices on the Supreme Court, have often interpreted the first part of those words to mean a separation of church and state, by which they really mean a separation of God and government. Separation of God and government is not what the founders intended. And a simple, you know, amount of research in terms of the founding fathers and their practices would show that. I mean, my goodness, they even gave us chaplains for the military and for the legislatures. But in our time, let's fast forward and look at the fact that there are some wonderful Christian legal groups that are doing the Lord's work in helping to preserve the kind of religious liberty that the founders intended America to have. And one of those is First Liberty, which is based in the Dallas area. And one of their chief attorneys is Jeremy Dice, who's vice president of First Liberty. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome Jeremy Dice back to the program. And Jeremy, give me your exact title. What, senior counsel and vice president? What?
Senior counsel, and I chair our practice group on religious institutions.
Okay, very good. So there's a case out of New Hampshire that we should know about. We know that many, many churches in America were first founded in someone's home, like the pastor's home or whatever. They just created this small little group, and then out of that, it eventually mushroomed into a movement, a church. Well, there's a church in New Hampshire that is experiencing a lot of pushback from the local community. Tell us about this.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Churches throughout the history of our country have been meeting in our homes. I mean, before the Pilgrims had the meeting house, they met in people's homes, and all throughout the rest of the organized nature of our country, that's been pretty commonplace. It's pretty fair and common to use one's home for religious purposes, whether that's for official church services, for those planting the church, or, you know, just for a Bible study. That's perfectly acceptable. But the town of Ware, New Hampshire, W-E-A-R-E, Ware, New Hampshire, has taken exception to Pastor Kalugian, Howard Kalugian, for planting the Grace New England campus of his church in his renovated barn. And that just happens to be the largest room in his house, which is why he's using that space. Now, the real interesting side of this equation is that Pastor Kalugian has hosted a lot of other gatherings and invited the public onto his property routinely to come to those gatherings, including political gatherings. He recently had RFK Jr. there, I think about a year ago. He's had an observation of what's called the Pine Tree Riots, a local political gathering every year that happens there in Ware, New Hampshire. He does it every single year. Birthday parties have been there. Weddings have been there. So it's no big surprise that people have come onto that property, and certainly shouldn't be a surprise to the town of Ware that there are people using that property. Except the town of Ware now, when they saw an advertisement for the church pop up on their town square or on the billboards or the bulletin boards in their town, now they're a little bothered by the fact that Pastor Kalugian is using his house as a church service. That should not be the case.
Could Pastor Kalugian or his wife, could they have a Tupperware party at his house without any problems?
Yeah, well, I mean, in theory, they should be just fine with that. In fact, the funny part of the story is that, about 2 or 3 months ago, right before we filed this lawsuit, it was Super Bowl Sunday was coming up, like a week later. He had a heater installed in his property in the barn and was having it inspected. And the town inspector said, you know what, I love these pews you have in this barn. I have old pews just like that in my garage. In fact, there's going to be a lot of people sitting in my garage this coming Sunday to watch the Super Bowl. And the pastor sort of got a twinkle in his eye and looked at him and said, well, did you get a permit for that? And of course, the answer was no. And nor should you have to get a permit to watch the Super Bowl or to have a reading group or, you know, maybe have the Book of the Month Club meeting at your house regularly. There's no functional difference between a Super Bowl party and a Sunday school or a book club and a church gathering. In fact, the only difference that exists between those events is the fact that there is a religious text being studied at a church service there is a religious gathering going occurring rather than watching the football. Now, some may claim some religiosity when it comes to the Super Bowl, but I'm not aware of an organized religion around football Sunday quite yet. The only difference that makes then is that federal law and the U.S. Constitution clearly protects the right of Pastor Kaloogian to gather in his home, the largest room in his house, this barn, to be with people of faith, to worship Jesus day in and day out, every Sunday, every Tuesday, whatever time they choose to pick, they're able to use their home for religious purposes.
Wow. All right, let me read a part of the First Liberty press release related to this story. Pastor Howard Kaloogian founded Grace New England Church in his home as a church plant. He welcomes people in his home and occasionally holds social gatherings for invited guests. In October of 2023, he received a cease and desist notice from the town of Ware stating, quote, "You are to immediately stop any assembly regarding Grace New England Church. This cease and desist will remain in effect until a site plan is submitted, reviewed, and there is a decision made by the town planning board," end quote. So walk us through what actually happened here, Jeremy. Where did First Liberty, or when did you all get involved in this? I imagine he reached out to you and maybe other groups just trying to get some help with this case.
Yeah, we represent his parent church in Grace International in Houston. And so when this became an issue, through that church, he reached out to us as well and said, look, I've had some complaints from the town of Ware that this church I'm starting in my home is going to be a problem. And so sometime in the fall, we became aware of the situation. What actually occurred was that the town code enforcer just happened to see an advertisement, one of those little 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper with a tear off things, you know, hanging on a billboard somewhere in town. And he tore off one of the things and then showed up Pastor Kaloogian's house saying, hey, if you're going to have a church service here, you need to get a special use permit to be able to do that. That's a change of use. This isn't a residential house anymore. This is a church, and you got to. Well, the rules of the town, the ordinances there, actually permit churches to exist as of right. So he was immediately confused as to why he'd ever need to have a permit be issued, because they're allowed to be in that part of town. There shouldn't be any concern about that whatsoever. And so things kind of ratcheted from there, where they sent this cease and desist letter. We became involved pretty quickly and wrote back, because that cease and desist letter had a very short fuse on it, and said, look, we need to talk about this, and if you don't withdraw this, then we're going to be forced to seek protection in federal court. And they withdrew it temporarily, they said, but it continued to demand that Pastor Kaloogian submit to this site approval plan process, which anybody who's been through that process knows that's not a gimme process at all. It's a very onerous situation involving a lot of money and forms and all that kind of stuff, all of which is completely unnecessary, because this is just his home that he's using for religious purposes. There shouldn't be a need for concern whatsoever. You know, and so we were able to push that off until February, when we filed the lawsuit.
It's so ironic to me that New England at one time, you know, it really, honestly, it was founded by, well, first the Pilgrims, Plymouth, Massachusetts, and then because of the success and the permanency of their colony, then all these Puritans, just huge numbers, came in and established, you know, other parts of Massachusetts as a colony, including Boston and the city on a hill, and then, you know, all these other communities and Connecticut, and some of these, of course, became different states. Rhode Island, again, founded for religious freedom and so forth. Bottom line is, it seems like Christianity in New England today is a rare thing, and so this kind of anti-Christian persecution, it's ironic in light of New England's history.
Well, it certainly is, and it shouldn't be surprising at all, where we've had churches and religious gatherings in people's homes from time immemorial. And frankly, the Constitution, the federal law, it clearly protects the right of people to worship inside their own homes and to use them for religious worship as well. And so we'd love to see a time when we can get back to, people in ordinary America just saying, what's the big deal? Sure, people are gathering for religious purposes in this home, but that's completely unsurprising, because it is.
While this lawsuit is working its way through the courts, is the pastor able to meet and have these church services?
He is, but of course, it's sort of under the specter of what could happen, right? Because he could lose this lawsuit and then be forced to go through either that site approval plan and be denied, or have a code inspector pop up any day now and issue another cease and desist notice to him. I don't think that will happen. I think at the end of the day, Pastor Kaloogian and his small church there are going to be able to continue to meet, and they're going to do so temporarily, which has always been the plan. We're talking about 25 or 30 people gathering in this small barn until they can grow big enough to be able to rent appropriate space to use it for their more permanent location. But for now, there's no sense and no need to do that when this house and this barn, this big room in their house, is available to them. Exactly zero people should be concerned about that process at all.
Jeremy, you and I first met when you came down here to Fort Lauderdale because you were involved in one of the first Liberty cases, and it involved a man and his son. And that man was a faithful attendee, and the son was too, of the largest church, or I think it's still the largest church in the Fort Lauderdale area, Calvary Chapel. And I know for a fact from, you know, testimonies people have told me about this, that Calvary Chapel began in the pastor, the founding pastor's home, like as a little Bible study and so forth. Here's the largest church, you know, in the Fort Lauderdale area, and it began in a home. So this is just so amazing that Christians still had to fight for our rights, you know, in this land that was basically founded for religious liberty.
Yeah, no, that's just one more great example, and we could keep on going down the list. We filed a lawsuit a couple weeks ago in Hawaii on behalf of a Jewish organization there on the Big Island. They use their home for religious purposes, and the county there is very upset about that, to the point where they have now instituted daily fines against the rabbi of that Chabad house, amounting to now over $41,000 in fines for the audacity of using their home for daily prayers and Shabbat services. We represented a synagogue in Beverly Hills where the town didn't like the pastor using his home again for daily morning prayers and other religious instructional gatherings that they had in his home. And I could keep on going down the list of where this happens routinely, whether it is Christians or Jewish believers that are using their home for religious purposes. You know, in the case of the Beverly Hills situation, I found it especially ironic that the town was bothered by the fact that this little gathering of, you know, 10 or 12 people inside the pool house of their home there were a problem, when every single week there was a massive card game that was taking place, poker, that kind of a game, all throughout the neighborhood around them, with something dating back to the Rat Pack era. It's just a routine thing that they do in Beverly Hills, apparently. But, you know, this should be surprising no one that there are religious people doing religious things inside of their homes. And that is protected clearly by the First Amendment of the United States Constitution and ought to remain so. And thankfully, we've got federal law to back that up.
We have about 1 minute left. And if there's anything else about this case you want to say, and I will say this, I'm really grateful for you guys because your track record at firstliberty.org is so great in terms of you win virtually all the cases you file. So God bless you.
Yeah, we're very confident in this situation as well. And I would just encourage folks to go to firstliberty.org where they can learn more about this case and keep up with it, but also all the other cases that we're working on behalf of all Americans defending their religious liberty all throughout this country.
All right, and there's still 30 seconds left for a closing thought on Pastor Howard Kaloogian and religious liberty.
But the other thing I might mention with Pastor Kaloogian, as well as all of our clients, is thankfully he's not had to go out and hire other attorneys to be able to run. They don't even have the money to fund a sizable congregation or a building to run their congregation in. Thankfully, all of our clients receive our help for free, pro bono, because I don't think you should have to pay an attorney to get your civil rights back if the government has violated them.
And you win how many percentages of your cases about?
Oh, over 90% of the cases that we get involved in, I think we win.
That's great. FirstLiberty.org. Thank you, Jeremy. All the best.
Thank you.